Thank you. So today's lectionary passage is from Matthew 15, and there's really like sort of two blocks of text. One, Jesus talking to the disciples about what makes a person unclean. And then the second story about the Canaanite woman and asking sort of Jesus to heal her daughter. And so I want to look at each in turn, and I think they can be very revealing and very poignant. I feel like it's Jesus peering into my heart when I read these words, right? Like it just gets right to the core. So the first, you have to understand something, for those that don't know already, Jewish law, sort of like the Old Testament law that the Jews lived by, that the Pharisees held very dear, had a lot to do with what you could and could not eat. Certain foods would make you unclean. You could not go to the temple. You could not offer sacrifices to God for forgiveness. You were sort of excluded, right? There was all kinds of things you could do to make you unclean. You could, if you touched blood, if you came in contact with a dead body. The law was really intricate. It was sort of this system of purity. What would make you pure or unpure? Clean versus unclean. And as Jesus is prone to do, he takes these standards and he turns them on their head, right? So Jesus says, look, it's not what you put in your mouth that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your mouth that reveals whether you're clean or unclean, right? Pure or impure. So the disciples are immediately like, well, don't you realize when you said that you made the Pharisees really upset? Because the Pharisees are operating according to the Torah, right? The Old Testament law. And of course, Jesus doesn't care that he makes the Pharisees mad. He's making the Pharisees mad all the time. He says, you have to listen, right? The standards that our culture, that our religion is using to judge another person's holiness or righteousness or worthiness are totally wrong. Because, as Jesus is accustomed to doing, he violates our expectations. This is what Jesus does over and over. He violates our expectations. The expectations of the Pharisees, of the religious leaders, those that were the most faithful to the law, were that what you ate made you clean or unclean, and Jesus violates that expectation and says, no, what comes out of your mouth? Because what comes out of your mouth reveals your heart. What I say, the things that I think, the things that I desire, those reveal my character. They reveal my true self. Well, think about that for a moment, right? Like I think about the thoughts that come to my mind. I think about the things that I say. And it doesn't always say something good about me, right? The way I talk about people that I don't agree with, the way I think about people, the way I judge others, it doesn't say something wonderful about my heart often. And this is not to beat myself up. This is not like some tool so that you feel bad or to feel judged. This is a measuring stick to recognize we're not where God wants us, right? These things are reminders that I've got to continually be humbled, to be repentant, right? In need of God's grace. And the more I can do that for myself, the more I can begin to do it for other people. But if I'm judged by the things that come into my head and that come out of my mouth, I'm in trouble, right? Wow, do I need God's grace? And so Jesus sort of shifts the standards we use to measure the holiness and righteousness of others, right? So I want us to think about that. I want us to think about the church. I want us to think about Christianity in a broad sense and the way in which society often can see it as being close-minded, judgmental, right? Racist, elitist. That the church can come across, and especially historically, as using standards, measuring sticks of holiness that had nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing to do with the kingdom of God and nothing to do with the red letters we find in our Bible. Somehow we didn't hear and take heed of this passage very well. The church has often created measuring sticks of holiness that had nothing to do with the words and teachings and life of Jesus. And so he's correcting the Pharisees, but I want us to hear this in our hearts, right? I'm in need of grace, and the more I recognize that, the more I can extend it. I want to parlay that thought into the second story, which can look totally different. It's like these two stories have nothing in common, and I want to suggest that they do. Okay, so the second passage, Jesus leaves Galilee, heads north, and goes into the region of Tyre and Sidon. These are both Canaanite areas, right? Gentile areas. This is a surprise in and of itself. Why in the world is Jesus going there? Jesus is Jewish. His disciples are Jewish. This is the area of their enemies. Even in this time period, in the first century, Josephus, who's a Jewish historian, first century, right? Josephus writes, the Phoenicians, right? This area, the Canaanites, they were the most, they had the most ill feeling towards us, the Jews. We considered them to be our enemies, right? So this is a historian suggesting that the area that Jesus is going into, right, this Canaanite, this Gentile area, is not a place he should be. And this would thwart all of the disciples' expectations of where they were going to go as they follow Jesus. But here he is, heading north into enemy territory. And what happens as he approaches but a Canaanite woman, right, an enemy of the Jews, comes to Jesus begging him for help? A woman should not, a Gentile woman should not approach a Jewish man asking for help like this thwarts so many social norms. And Jesus' response is interesting. It's actually sort of hard to swallow, so I want to read it, right? Jesus replies to the woman who comes to him and says, I've only been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Essentially saying, no thanks, you're an outsider. You're not Jewish. You're not an Israelite, so I didn't come for you. This is a strange thing for Jesus to say, right? Given other things that Jesus has said and done, this doesn't make a lot of sense, right? She doesn't go away, though. She thwarts our expectations. She gets rebuked by Jesus once and then continues to violate social norm. She says, Lord, please help me, right? My daughter's demon-possessed. Only you can heal her. Jesus' response to her second pleading is even worse. Jesus says, it is not good to take the children's bread, that is, the gifts that I have for Israel, and toss them to dogs, that is, Gentiles. The term dogs here is harsh. In the ancient world, dogs were like scavengers, like rummaging through trash. They were dirty. They were despised even, right? To call someone a dog is not great. So Jesus has said, I've only come to save Israel, and he's referred to Gentiles as dogs. Why would I give the gifts for children and throw them to the dogs? The Canaanite woman doesn't go away. You talk about a strong woman. You talk about courage in the face of being embarrassed and chastised. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And then Jesus responds, woman, you have great faith. And he heals her daughter. He extends grace to this Canaanite woman. But what are we to make of Jesus' words here? How are we to understand them? One way is to say, well, Jesus really thought he was only there for the Israelites. That Jesus was tribal. I'm here for Israelites, everyone else can fend for themselves. That's one way. And this Canaanite woman, through her perseverance, through her refusal to go away, breaks through Jesus' tribalism, and she's sort of like one of the good ones, one of the good Gentiles who really gets it, and so Jesus makes an exception for her. That's one way to understand these words of Jesus. But this is not the way I think we ought to understand it, right? Jesus has said and done too many things that suggest his grace is for everyone. Jesus, before this point in Matthew, has already extended grace to Romans, centurions, Gentiles. He's already chastised, right, the Pharisees for being so Jewish-minded that they've excluded other groups of people. Jesus has made it clear, right? He's willing to heal, preach to, right, provide grace to all groups. So if Jesus has already made it clear that he's come for everyone, then why is he telling this Canaanite woman, I'm only here for Israel. I'm not going to throw scraps to dogs. What's Jesus up to? So I want you to think about these passages back to back. What comes out of a person's mouth reveals their heart. When Jesus goes into enemy territory, his disciples, you can be pretty sure, are not happy about that. They might be killed. They might be thrown in prison or beaten, insulted. They don't want to be there. Jesus has already asked them to drop their nets, leave their families, give up their comfort to follow him. They've already done all that. And then now he's leading me into enemy territory. Are you kidding? I can imagine the disciples grumbling. Why do we have to be here among the Phoenicians? Why do we have to be here among the Canaanites and the Gentiles? Aren't these our enemies? Haven't they been persecuting us? So you picture the disciples upset and grumbling. Their expectation, right, of the Messiah, their expectation of Jesus is that the Messiah comes for Israel alone. The Messiah comes to set Israel up above every nation, to give it power. Right? And Jesus has been thwarting these expectations. So here Jesus is in enemy territory with a bunch of grumbling disciples. And when the Canaanite woman approaches, Jesus says the things that the disciples have been saying. He says the things that are expected. I've come to save Israel. I'm not going to throw my scraps to dogs. Only to violate those expectations a few moments later, to heal the woman's daughter, to praise her as a woman of faith, and to reveal to the disciples, in my mind, right, how I would interpret this story, those of you that have been saying these things about your enemies, those of you that have been saying these things about the Canaanites, it's revealed your black heart. It's revealed your true hatred for the other. The tribalism that blinds you to the value of the other. Jesus repeats those words to this woman only then to heal her daughter and to reveal that he's come for everyone. Can you imagine how convicting that would be to the disciples? You just heard me talk about how what you say reveals your heart. And here you are now in Canaanite territory, angry that we're surrounded by our enemies. So once again, Jesus turns these expectations on their head, violates them, talks to the woman, heals her daughter, provides grace. And so I want to back up for a minute, and I want these words to penetrate our hearts. In what ways, right, do we have expectations about how the world should go, how society should function, how people should treat us, how my job should work? And how many times are those expectations overturned? Like by COVID, by illness, by divorce, right? By a hurting child. We have a whole series of expectations of how we think things should go, and then life sends us curveballs. Just like Jesus continually thwarts these expectations, putting the disciples at dis-ease. What are we to do? How are we to respond? So I have a suggestion. Jesus is not here to make us comfortable. Jesus is here to say, throw down your nets and follow me. Take the path towards those that are hurting. Take the path of poverty. Take the path of downward mobility. Go to the least of these. Jesus is calling us to be uncomfortable. And just when we think we've done enough, Jesus says, oh, now we're going to go into enemy territory. And our expectations of comfort, of stability, get overturned once again. And this is sort of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's to know that our expectations of how life will go will be interrupted. The Holy Spirit will disrupt, will overturn, will destabilize. So how are we supposed to live into this reality? I think so often when I preach or when we think about this as a church, we think about it like, what should I do? What's the next thing for me to do? Do I do this? Do I do that? I suggest you join a ministry or get involved in a small group. Or we have all these things about what to do, and I want to stop for a minute and say maybe, just maybe what we need to do to live into a faith that continually destabilizes and thwarts our expectations and challenges our hearts is to ask ourselves, what kind of human beings do we need to become? Not what do I do, who do I become? What kind of internal traits do I need to develop to live into a faith that will perpetually challenge me, thwart my expectations, change my measuring stick for righteousness and holiness? What kind of traits? And I'm going to give a few. It seems to me that I'm going to have to develop internal traits that lead to humility, that I will continue to be humbled and recognize I don't have all the answers and I'm not sure exactly what to do or what's going to come next, but that my uncertainty, my humility might lead me to move a little bit closer to God. That I'm going to have to really cultivate a kind of graciousness for myself and for others, to be kind and understanding and recognize that people do things for all kinds of reasons, and most of the time it's not because they're evil. They're broken, lost, in the dark, hurting, scared. And that grace that I give to myself that I might extend to others will help me live into an uncertain world. That I might have to develop internal traits of courage that allow me to meet challenges that God places in front of me with a kind of dignity, a kind of courage, a kind of fierce perseverance that won't allow me to be deterred. I think I'm tired of asking myself, what's the next thing I'm supposed to do? And that what God really wants is, Joe, what kind of human are you going to become? Because regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what life throws at you, you're going to need humility and grace and love and courage. So that's my challenge today. My challenge is to recognize that God is not a God to comfort us always, right? That God is a God that destabilizes our lives. That just when we think we've got things figured out, we end up upside down. And what would it mean to become humans that can live into that kind of world and into that kind of faith? Let's pray. Lord, your words to the Canaanite woman are harsh, but they reveal the heart of the disciples. They reveal their racism and their anger and their judgment towards their enemies. And then you thwart those expectations by providing healing and love and grace. Just when we think, Lord, we've got things figured out, it seems that life throws us many, many curveballs. We pray that your Spirit might help equip us to be the kinds of people that can respond to those challenges well. That you might shape us into the likeness of your Son. Amen. If you would please join for our closing song.